Our gospel this morning, the Holy Gospel, comes to us from the book of John. Glory to you, O Lord. John chapter 10. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A shepherd must know his pasture. Any ranchers in the room? Any family of ranchers in the room? A rancher must know their pasture. Amen? A shepherd must know their pasture. They must know every blade of grass. They must know where every shrub lies. They must know where every tree is planted and grows. They must know where every stone is in that field, because when that time comes, when the dusk is there, the sun is setting, their eyes are tired and weary, they are exhausted by the day, the dust and the wind never cease. Amen? And they are keeping watch over their flock by night. Sounds like Christmas, but it's all times, 24/7. They must know where that stone is in the field, because when all of a sudden at dusk that stone suddenly moves, they must recognize that it is the wolf, not a stone, that is trying to get to the flock. A shepherd must know every square foot of their pasture. Jesus, the great shepherd, he knows his pasture. He knows his flock. This morning in our text, it says that the celebration of dedication has come to pass. It is beginning in Jerusalem. The celebration of dedication, it's actually Hanukkah. I sometimes wish John would have just said at the beginning of Hanukkah. It's Hanukkah. And for the Jewish population, for that community in this moment, this is after the Babylonian exile. Eighth graders, you remember us talking about that. This is after the exile. This is after the sins of everything that has come to fruition. This is when they've finally been free from Babylon. They've come back to Jerusalem, and the Maccabees take back the temple. They take back worship. They come back to worshiping God and God alone. They honor it with this new celebration called Hanukkah, in which it is the festival of lights. They bring into the temple countless, countless lights, and in the windows, in the beginning or in the front of the temple, they'll also have what we call the menorah, the eight candles that are lit as they celebrate those 8 days. What the Jewish people don't understand in this moment, in our gospel in John this morning, is that the true light of the world, the light of all lights, the light that belongs in the temple, the light that also, most importantly, belongs outside the temple, is standing right in front of them. They walk up to Jesus. He's standing outside. It is winter in Jerusalem. It's cold. He's walking through Solomon's colonnade, which is this overhang outside of the temple, this beautiful place. And there, some of the Jewish elders, they walk up to Jesus and they say, "Please tell us. Be plain with us. Don't give us any more parables, Jesus. Speak plainly to us. Are you the Christ?" They didn't say, "Are you Jesus Christ?" Which Christ, by the way, is not his last name. They say, are you the Christ, the Christos, the anointed one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that has been declaring, and the whole countryside has been declaring, is the one that is going to fulfill the prophets and all of the laws? Are you the Christ? And Jesus says, "I am. You yourselves say it, but you don't believe it, because you're not my sheep." And that is the part in the gospel where we all roll our eyes and cringe, because it sounds like Jesus is being really judgmental and condemning at that point. Amen? But here's the thing. The sheep always know the shepherd's voice. And after everything that has transpired up to this point in Jesus' public ministry, after all of the miracles, and the whole point of the miracles, Jesus is using God, the Holy Spirit is through Jesus, he is performing these miracles to give them the aha moment, this is the Messiah. And after all the miracles, after all the teachings, after all the preaching, here they are in Solomon's portico asking him, are you actually the Christ? Which tells Jesus, oh dear sheep, you still have not heard my voice. You still haven't heard my voice. Jesus, the great shepherd on this Shepherd Sunday, he knows his sheep. He knows his pasture. And his sheep know there's this beautiful video. I didn't play it this year, but there's this beautiful video. If you ever want to go on YouTube, look up Shepherd and His Sheep and Their Voice. And there's the Scottish shepherd. He is sitting there. It's foggier than foggy. And he starts calling out to the sheep. He starts using his language and whatever. I don't know what he's saying. It's in this old Scottish dialect. And out of nowhere, after a couple minutes of continuously shouting out these words, the sheep come running down the hill. Because they know his voice and no other shepherd's voice. A shepherd must know his pasture. Amen? Amen. Now, what does this have to do with us on Confirmation Sunday? What does this have to do with Romans chapter 8 in a faith statement? Brothers and sisters in Christ, the good news is that God is our shepherd and we know his voice. The thing is we are sheep, amen? And I hate to say it, sheep are dumb. No offense, sheep are dumb. In fact, years ago, I was in a candidacy retreat as a young up-and-coming pastor, and we were at Shalom Hill Farms outside of Windham, Minnesota, and all of a sudden, my friend Pastor Chris Zeroff, he's a pastor over at Gloria Day in Sioux Falls, he and our great friends were out on a walk, and we hear this sheep, and it was in distress. I mean, it was baying. That was a horrible bah, but go with it. We could tell that something was in distress, and we went for this walk. We finally found where it was coming from. It was this little lamb that was caught in the barbed wire, but the barbed wire was literally only 3 inches off the ground. I looked at the lamb. I said, how do you screw this up? You literally just step over it, but I don't know if he rolled through it or what, but he was caught, and he could not get out. Sheep are dumb. But God loves them anyways. Even when the one sheep is going to leave eighth grade boys and eighth grade girls, when that one lamb thinks it has the answer, thinks it knows where the better pasture is, the Lord's still going to go looking for the one lamb. Because that's the shepherd we have. So Lord is the shepherd, the great shepherd. But sometimes, due to the calling, sometimes due to the role that some of us are gifted into, we also have another character that never gets credit very often, the sheepdogs. Now, if you were a shepherd that had a sheepdog, you were a blessed shepherd. You were a shepherd of stout, a shepherd of abilities, and that sheepdog has an important role. That sheepdog is always going to be monitoring the perimeter. That sheepdog also knows every blade of grass in that field, and that sheepdog will literally run upside the sheep next to him and bump into them. It almost looks violent. He will literally tackle into the side of them. Why? He's shoving them back to the flock. That sheepdog is saying, you're dumb, I'm a little bit smarter, but I'm doing this to protect you, I'm doing this to guide you. You need to get back over here because that's where it's safe. And the sheepdog also helps the shepherd spot the wolf. And the sheepdog is the one that gives out the warning cry. Now back to the shepherd. I was blessed years ago to meet a shepherd. And I asked him, I said, what is the hardest part about being a shepherd? And he said, the hardest part is when your eyes get tired, is to have the energy to keep them open. Because the second you spot the wolf at the end of the pasture or ranchers, the second you spot the coyote, this was long before thermal optics, which I would love to get my hands on one, amen? But the second that you have your eyes on that wolf, you cannot, absolutely cannot take your eyes off the wolf. Because the second that you take your eyes off the wolf, the second that eye contact is broken, the wolf sneaks into the herd. And that's where we get the phrase, the wolf wears the sheepskin. Now, the wolf doesn't take the sheepskin off and put it on him. The wolf gets low and stays below the level of the sheep until the shepherd no longer notices him dragging one off to be taken away. But in the Solomon's portico this morning, Jesus tells us, he promises us, that the shepherd will never let that sheep be snatched out of his hand. On this Confirmation Sunday, on this Mother's Day Sunday, we must remember the words that the sheep will not be plucked out of the Lord's hand. We must listen to his voice. We must hear his words. We must remember his promises. We must remember his commands. And some of us might ask, well, where do we begin? Read your Bible. Dust it off. Open it up. Come to worship. Enter into the space where we listen, we sing, and we hear God's word. Moms, dads, don't let your sheep go astray. Moms and dads, don't be the sheep that go astray. Amen? Oh, I know, Easter's done. Deacon Chris just announced next Wednesday is the last Wednesday worship. Summer's here, we get to go AWOL. Amen? Shame on you. Yes, your pastor just gave you a guilt complex. By the way, did you know that the word pastor means shepherd as well? I get to go with the staff and tell you to get back to church. The reason why I say that is because the world is full of voices right now. There are a lot of voices beckoning at our students and beckoning at us. You turn on the news for 5 minutes and you're going to hear voices galore that are telling you all sorts of truth of what is most important in the world. This week is no different. In fact, I know my wife told me not to use this illustration, but I can't help it. You know, any of us ever grow up reading those books where you get to choose your own ending? Anyone read those books? You get to the end of the chapter and you get to choose what goes next? I feel like the world right now is that book, and we handed it to a 2-year-old to select the next ending. Amen? Brothers and sisters in Christ, you don't need a 2-year-old to choose the ending. We go back to the Word of God. And the other thing that you absolutely cannot do is reduce the Word of God to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Anyone remember the 1990s? I know this is 8th graders, this goes way beyond you. Back in the 1990s, there was this thing called What Would Jesus Do? WWJD, those rubber bracelets and t-shirts galore. Any parents remember those days? If you were my age, you were a high schooler, and you either loved it or you were like, I don't know, what would Jesus do? To say that what would Jesus do, to answer that is solely in the Gospels, then I have missed the mark as your pastor in confirmation. God's word, what would Jesus do, is the entire Bible. How do we know that? Go to John, the very beginning, John 1:1. Matthew and Luke give us the Christmas story we all know. Mark has no Christmas story at all. John 1 gives it to us clearly. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. Jesus, though he was not in the flesh until the first Noel, Jesus was there with the God, the Creator, was there with the Holy Spirit from the beginning, always will be, all the way to the end, the Alpha, the Omega. Read your Bible, it's all there. What would Jesus do? It's woven into the entire story. It's woven into what we preach. It's woven into the hymns that we sing. It's woven into the liturgy. It is woven into the words that we will bless, that Deacon Chris and I will say, as we bless each and every one of our confirmands today. So brothers and sisters in Christ, TikTok is not your shepherd. Instagram, Facebook is not your shepherd. Fox News and CNN are not your shepherds. Your shepherd is the one promising that you will not be plucked out of his hand. Thanks be to God.